The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus; Simon the Canaanite; and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy. Stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that town or house. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against their parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, believe it or not, if I remember correctly, it was these scriptures that I preached at and used for, I believe, probably the first service that I did in this church 17 years ago. Times were different then. I was returning back to a place that I knew. I knew New Smyrna Beach. I'd owned property here in New Smyrna Beach. But I'd been away in Fort Walton Beach for 5 years. No offense, but that's not really Florida. That's lower Alabama. The Redneck Riviera is what they call it. And I came back after those 5 years, and I came here. I came in a little bit earlier, actually, to do the service for a man who had died. And then I had to preach here and begin my ministry here. That's gone on for an incredible 17 years. I remember at that point in my life, reading especially where Jesus gives the instructions, says, take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your money, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Basically, what he was saying to the apostles, the 12 that he had sent out, what he was saying to them is, pack light. Pack light. Whatever you do, pack light. I remember saying in that service that I had a hard time relating to that because I just moved from a house that was probably 2,400 square feet to a house that was about 1,100 square feet that already had furniture in it. And now I had four full of the largest, actually, storage units you can have filled with stuff. I had not packed light. I laugh at this moment because I remember that it took me about 6 years to get rid of at least three of those units. We still have one of those same units, and it's packed to the brim. I wonder how many of us save up stuff and keep things and don't pack light. It's with that that I want to talk today a little bit. It's with that that I think that the scriptures speak to us some. It says that after he tells them to pack light, he gives them instructions on what to do when you go into a house and into a town. If they welcome you, make sure they're worthy and then stay there. But if they are not welcoming to you, what he says very clearly is to shake the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Most of us read that and forget that there's a period after that because we jump right into, truly, I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on that day of judgment than for that town. And we connect those two statements and we think, yeah, you didn't welcome me? In your face, I'm shaking the dust from my feet. But I think that perhaps we shouldn't look at it that way. I think perhaps if the God that I have, the Jesus that I know, is one of love, that we don't shake the dust from our feet as it in your face, you didn't accept me, screw you. But we say to ourselves, no, I'm not going to carry it with me. You see, it goes more with the scriptures before than in some senses the scriptures after. It goes more with, don't take two tunics. Don't take sandals. Don't take money in your belt. Pack light. Your job's not to judge. Your job's to love. And so you shake the dust from your feet so that you don't hold that resentment. You don't hold that sense of, oh, they got me, well, I'm going to get them. We let it go. I have a real hard time letting go. I'll be real upfront with you. If I feel like I got disrespected, if I feel like somebody has said something to me or not even understood me, by God, I got to make them understand me sometimes. And yet I'm weighted down a lot of the times. I don't necessarily always hurt when somebody gets mad at me. I'd rather get even. And yet what I really should be is not be hurt or try and get even, but try and, in a sense, hurt for them. If I'm called to love my brother, my sister, my neighbor, for those who cross my path and care for me, like the Good Samaritan, then I don't evaluate or judge. I live out my life simply trying to care. Because somehow in the midst of caring, I become lighter. Somehow in the midst of loving, I become more like Christ and less like the parts of me that bring me away from Christ. It says to go to the lost sheep. You know, I've never been a shepherd, but I cannot believe that I've ever gone up to any animal or any person who readily admits that they're lost. Maybe in driving around somebody when they're so frantic and they can't figure out what their bearings are, they finally say, I lost, I can't get there. But if you're a man, usually you don't ask for directions anyway. But most of us don't ask and acknowledge that we're lost. We show it real clearly in the frantic way that we run around, in the way that we treat others because we're so self-absorbed with the fact that we can't get from point A to point B and we need to get to point B and we can't get there. And we keep seeing point A, point A, point A, and we keep returning back to this. But emotionally, that's where most of us get, because most of us really are lost. I'll never forget a story that happened years ago. It's back in the 90s, and Sally, Ian, and I had gone up to actually a timeshare that we still own. It's up in North Georgia, and it's Sky Valley, Georgia, actually. And Ian was young, and we had gone up to Raven Bald Mountain, which is, I think, either the highest mountain in North Georgia or the second highest mountain in North Georgia. We went up, and of course, the trail up was circuitous. It just kept on going around. And yet, as we went up, we got up there finally to the summit, and it was an overlook. It was beautiful. When we were starting to come down, Ian didn't want to take the same amount of time as we were taking, and he knew that the trail had switchbacks all the time. So he decided what he'd do is he'd take a beeline right down the side of the mountain from one switchback to the next switchback, figuring he'd set it there. Well, I said, go ahead, go for it. I mean, he was 12 years old, and the weather was good. I wasn't really worried. He took off sort of forging his way through the woods. Pretty soon, I heard him yelling, Jim, Jim, not sure how to get out of here. I laughed to myself at first, and then I said, whatever you do, come out the way you went in. Come out the way you went in. You know, so often in our life, we don't know how we got lost. We don't know how we have, in a sense, carried the load that we have. We don't know how the resentments actually came about, because I don't know about you, when resentment goes much over 6 months to a year, I'm sure the details of that resentment are different in my mind than they are in the person that I'm resenting's mind. But the only way I know how to get out of it is to go back the way I came in. To acknowledge what I remember, own my part, forgive the other person, even if I don't reconcile with them, but primarily forgive myself. That I went down a trail that, to tell you the truth, got me further lost than I was before. To come and look at myself and say, I'm a human being. I'm not perfect. To realize that things don't always work the way they're supposed to work. As we continue in this uncharted time that we're in, as we continue to move forward, where some of us are in one place and others are in other places, I pray that we always look, number one, at our relationship with the living God. That we try and get ourselves right with Him, then begin to get ourselves right with ourselves and with others. To know that we are broken, but we are not really lost. But that in our brokenness, God can get and make us whole again. But if we continue to remain in our lostness, we'll never get back to the great physician to be made whole again. That we let go of those things that draw us away that make us lost. And that we pack very, very light. And keep that list that so often can mount up in our everyday life, keep it very, very short or non-existent. As you come to the Eucharist this day, as we enter more and more deeply into the season of Pentecost, know this, it is the season of Pentecost. It is not the Cena of COVID-19. That we are beyond that at this point. It may not already be gone, but we are beyond that because we are in the power of the Holy Spirit. Trust that Holy Spirit. It's more powerful than Corona could ever be. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.